Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of day where we walk by faith and not by sight for the destiny and the call and the purpose that God has already predestined for us before the foundations of the world. And this walk is a walk of faith. It's a walk of trust and confidence in a God who's called us to something that we could never ever do for ourselves or do in our own power or own strength, but he allows us through his grace, through his mercy, to walk in to receive something that we could never do, the empowerment of who he is, the life of who he is, the revelation of who he is. And as we walk by faith, we are changed as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we show and demonstrate this power, this love, this grace, this mercy to the world. We show the God that died for the world. We show the love of God that's able to reconcile, able to cover the multitudes of sin and give the mercy and the forgiveness that they need to cover as we did. And so it is amazing that God chooses unlikely people. He chooses people that others would not, that he chooses the rejects. He chooses the broken. He chooses the confused. He chooses those who've given up on themselves and on life. And he anoints them, fills them with his spirit, gives them their purpose and their plan, and starts them on their journey of trust. And it is an amazing journey because God changes us line upon line, precept upon precept, depth to depth, height to height, glory to glory, until we are exactly as he is. And when he corrects God, we will be exactly as he is. He changes us to the place where even our fears won't even have a grip on us. He changes us till those things never, ever consume us. The only thing that we consume with is him, his word, his spirit, and his life. And it is amazing because God is such a great God. He doesn't get us confused. He doesn't get your purpose confused with mine, but all the purposes work together for the good as plan of God, and it works even in our favor, because he's able to show himself strong in us in such a way that family members, friends, co-workers, people we go to church with are able to see the change that is happening in our lives. Some of them may not be able to explain it or understand it to the fullest, but those who are believers are able to see that God is doing something wonderful in our lives, and the fruit thereof is great because other people are able to be sustained by the fruit of righteousness that now thrives in us and grows in us and expands in us. So it is amazing. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the grace and the mercy of God. I know that we understand that we receive that mercy and that grace in our lives the moment that we are saved. We receive that mercy and the grace in our lives when we mess up. But there are times that we need that mercy and grace every single moment of the day. And sometimes we're trying to handle something. We're trying to deal with something. We're trying to walk through something that God has already made provisions for. We're trying to figure out something that his grace and his mercy has already provided for us, that he wants us to come to him and allow him, through his grace and mercy, to give us what we have need of, what we desire, the answers that we need, the peace that we need, the joy that we need, just the comfort that we need in him. Whatever it is we need, he wants us to come to him, and he wants us to do it boldly. Sometimes we've become so independent of God that we don't know how to rely and trust him. Through our lives, we are raised to be independent. We're raised to be strong. We're raised in an atmosphere in the earth, in the earthly environment, with our parents, with teachers, with friends, with workers on jobs. We are raised to be independent. We're put in that pattern in our mind that we have to do this ourselves. We have to make it happen ourselves. We have to be the best. And I'm not saying we're not supposed to. We are supposed to. But there is when it comes to the spirit realm, when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, he does not want us to be independent of him. He wants us to be dependent on him. He wants us to rely on him for everything. The Bible lets us know we're to come to him as a child. And what I like about it is it means that in certain aspects, yes, I'm growing, maturing spiritually. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting more of him. I'm becoming more like him. The revelation of who he is now being seen in my life, even greater. But when it comes to my faith and my position in him, I'm always going to be the child. So he never gets tired of me coming to him. He never gets tired of me asking of him. He never gets tired of helping me, of being there for me, because he's that kind of father. He wants me to depend on him. He wants me to come to him boldly. He wants me to ask him. Even when things are not going well in my life and I have questions or I'm angry that something didn't happen, he still wants me to come to him and talk to him and tell him, because he already knows. He sees everything, knows everything, and is everywhere at the same time. But he still wants us to come to him and tell him in our intimate relationship how we feel, what's going on. The Bible lets us know that he's touched by the feelings of our infirmity, touched by the places of our weakness. He's touched by the places of our life where we face adversity, where we struggle, where we face hardship. He's touched by those things through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how he's touched. He can't identify with it outside of the blood, because in God there is no weakness. There's nothing in him that is weak. There's nothing in him that is unsure. There's nothing in him that lacks confidence. He is a God that has all in all. He knows all. He is all. He's strong. He's mighty. He's all-wise, all-knowing. So how he relates to us is because his son came to the earth. And when his son came wrapped in flesh. He has the DNA of the Father, but he's wrapped in flesh. He was the first God-man. When he went and ascended to heaven, he ascended as a man, but he was God's man. He was a God man. And so he didn't ascend into heaven after his resurrection, after his 40-day walk down here on the earth, and he was talking to the apostles and getting them ready and giving them more wisdom and pouring into them. He didn't ascend as a spirit. He ascended as a man. And the Bible says that when he appears, he shall be as he is. So when we relate to the Father God, and we're relating to him in the form of our weakness or our pain or anything in our life that God cannot identify with, he identifies through his son, who was tempted, as the word of God says, as we were. He suffered as we did. He went through as we did, but he passed the test. He went through it, and he won, and he conquered over everything. He won over everything while he walked in the earth and when he went on the cross and when he went into hell. He won over every aspect of being tempted, being tried, being persecuted, being rejected, being mocked on the earth. He went through it with the spiritual leaders, with his family. He went through all of those things, but he knew who he was. And because he knew who he was and he knew his assignment and he knew his purpose, he conquered. Even though he felt the things that came through his flesh, things that would come to his mind, he wouldn't allow those things to overcome or take over. He made those things be subservient unto him. He made those things bow to the authority and the will of God. And he then took on what was necessary to show us the example of what it is to conquer rejection. We conquer the places where the enemy is going to come and try you. Conquer the things where people don't understand you, where they mock you, where you're persecuted. He conquered all of those things, and he conquered sin, and he conquered hell. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered all of those things for us. So when God relates to us in the form of our weakness, he's relating us to us through Jesus Christ and how Jesus felt the things that we felt, but yet conquered over those things. But the Lord wants us to come to him, and he wants us to tell him. And there's some things that we're just carrying that we just feel like we're supposed to just do because that's what we've been taught. But when it comes to God and his will, the rules change totally. He wants us to come to him identifying with the fact that he knows us, and he knows us so well that he knows the hairs on our head. He knows our beginning and our end. He knows all the in-between. There's nothing that can happen in our life that catches him by surprise. He's already predestined us. He's ordained our steps. He knows every detail of our life. He knows what we would choose, what we will not choose. He knows us. and he's made a way of escape. No matter what it is, he's already thought it out, planned it, purposed it, made it happen for us, and he doesn't get us confused. He knows exactly what to do for you and to do for me or anybody else. He knows exactly how to do it, and it all works according to his will. All works according to his plan. All works according to his purpose, and that is amazing because God is awesome. Everything that he does well, he does great, he does mighty. And when he decided that he had chosen us for his purpose, we didn't choose him in the beginning. We chose him after we heard of his loving kindness, after he dealt with us. But he had already chosen us before the foundations of the earth. He already saw us and knew us and wanted us and made preparations. That's why the Bible lets us know that Jesus was already crucified in the mind of God before the foundations of the earth, because God was making sure that we would be the apple of his eye, that we would be that which he wanted and desired, to live in the earth and bring him glory, honor, and praise. So he made sure that we would not have the sin factor. He made sure with the death of his son, that death, that sin was conquered, death and hell were now defeated. And when we receive his son, we receive all that he is eternally, a promise that we will walk through here but live forever with him in eternity. The book of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 4 and 16. It lets us understand the grace of God. And it tells us here, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy, find grace to help us in time of need. We need God every single second of the day. We need him. So every single time that we have a problem, every single time that we have a weakness, every single time we have something that's going on in our life, we are to go boldly to the throne of grace, not coming in a place or in an atmosphere that says God won't hear, God won't respond, God doesn't love us, God is rejecting us, God is not like man. I don't care how many people in your life have rejected you and didn't want you. God is not the same. He will keep his promise of love to us. And his promise of love to us lets us understand that he is not going to deny us when we come boldly to his throne in confidence, knowing that he's going to receive us. He's going to hear us. That because of the blood of Jesus, we have access to his kingdom. And the access that we have gives us the right to call him Father. Gives us the right. I don't care how bad your natural father or your natural parents may have been or other people in your life. God is not like that. He's always going to listen to you. He's going to hear you. The only thing that separates us from God is sin. But the moment that we repent, everything in our life changes. We have full access to him. That's what the book of Hebrews lets us know, talking about that in the fourth chapter. It lets us know who we are, that we have a compassionate high priest. It lets us know that he already paid the price for us and he gave us what we had need of, and that we have a promise of rest in him. We have a promise of fulfillment of covenant with him. So whenever we're going through, whatever our day is bringing to us, we can come boldly to our high priest. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and tell God what's going on. I'm having a bad day. This is happening on my job. This is happening with my family. This is happening with my physical body. God, this is happening in the ministry, in the church, in my walk. This is what's happening in my relationship. God, this is happening in my finances. And when we come boldly to him, we're going to obtain something that we didn't have. We're going to obtain a mercy that we need. We need him to be merciful unto us. We need him to answer us, to hear us. We need him to give us what we have need of. And we're going to obtain a grace. We're going to find grace. We're going to find a grace there. We're going to find some favor there, some love there that we couldn't find outside of him. And he wants us to get that. He doesn't want us to walk around as if we don't have a father. The word lets us understand that we have to stay right there. We have to go to the throne of God. Stay there. Just don't go and not get what we need. Go and stay there and receive what he wants to give us. He's already paid the price for it. He's already given it to us, and it's ours. So no matter what you're facing in your life, don't run away from God. Don't be independent of him. Be dependent. go to him and obtain the mercy that you need and find the favor. He was willing to give it. He's already paid for it, and it's already yours. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thatcher. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life today, the process of day when we walk by faith and not by sight, to the place and the destiny that God has predestined us for and called us to. I pray that you will join me tomorrow for another 15 minutes of empowerment, and we will have a blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen.